Tonight I'd like to talk to you about seven reasons church is important. This will be the second time I've preached it. The first time I preached it was during the height of COVID when I pastored in Virginia, when church doors were being closed. We were encouraged to log on. We're not called in God's word to log on. We're called to assemble. And just in case anyone forgot in the church I pastored in Virginia, you know what I did? I printed out the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment, and I hung it right by the light switch as soon as you come in the door. I believe the local New Testament church, the average member, take for granted the local New Testament church. And on the foreign field, there are individuals that are assembling, fearing for their lives, but doing so because they want to be part of a corporate body, a local New Testament church. And here we are in the United States in the safety, and thank you for the military that keeps us safe in the country and the freedom in which we enjoy, but sometimes I think we take it for granted. So tonight I want to talk to you about seven reasons church is important. One, it's a place of assembly. Take a look with me at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. As we consider the local New Testament church being a place of assembly, it's a place where we're able to obey God's command to assemble. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the logging on of ourselves. No, not at all. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We're not called to log on, we're called to assemble. Now, I understand there's shut-ins. Talked about Miss Helen this morning. I get the chance to minister to her. But if you're able to be in God's house, be in God's house. It's what we're called to do. This was a direct command to continue to assemble together. God gives the reason to exhort one another. We see it there in our verse. We need a personal connection with other believers for accountability. We need to be accountable to one another. And encouragement, we need to encourage one another to continue walking with the Lord daily in this life. There's a lot of stuff that the world throws at us. And isn't it great that we have a church family to encourage us? I know an enterprise where we were there at the church at Faith. One of, you know, on Wednesday night prayer meeting, you always hear testimonies. And I remember Miss Vicky, she was a nurse, and she said the one night, Wednesday night service is just a blessing. It's like getting a shot in the arm to help me get through the rest of the week. Isn't that right? It's like a shot in the arm, Wednesday night service. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31 as we consider the local New Testament church being a place to assemble. 31 verses 12 to 13. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within the gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. As long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 12 to 13, again, we see the command to gather along with the reason. And that reason is to learn, to fear the Lord, and to follow His word. So first, let us consider tonight, as we consider the importance of the local New Testament church, it's a place to assemble. Secondly, let us consider, as you're finding your place in Psalms 150, verse 1, it's a place of worship. Our local church is where we corporately, together as a body, pray, worship our Savior, and sing His praises. Is He not worthy of our praise? He is. Let's look at Psalms 150, verse 1. What does it say? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. We are to worship God by giving him praise. This verse also, yet another verse, advocating the gathering of the saints because it commands us to praise God where? In his sanctuary, assembling together in God's house corporately. Psalms 95, verses 1 and 6, I'll read them for you. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. O come, let us worship. Bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We're to worship God with thanksgiving for this so great salvation he has provided for us. John chapter 4, verse 23 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God knows and seeks those who are worshiping him from the heart, and in spirit, and in truth. So secondly, tonight we see that the local New Testament church is a place that we come together corporately to worship our Lord and Savior. Thirdly, tonight, consider with me, it's a place of service. The local New Testament church is a place of service. If you'd like to find your place in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, I'll read verses 10 to 11. The local church is where we serve God together, serve others, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, God gifts us with particular abilities so that God can minister to others through us. When we serve others in God's name, he receives the honor. He receives the glory from our service to others, to him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Again, we do good works for God, and he is glorified. So thirdly tonight, we see that the local church is a place of service. Fourthly, it's a place of support, where we receive support that we need to make it through this life that we're living together, corporately, as members of a church body. Find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we consider our local church is where we find help and encouragement from our church family. How many of you are glad you have a church family? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, God's word reads, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you think about that baby dedication. What do we do together as a church when a baby's born and dedicated? We rejoice. When there's a wedding, we rejoice together as a church family. And then when there's a funeral, we grieve together. When a brother or a sister is sick, in dire strait and in need, what do? We lift them up in prayer together as a church family. It's a beautiful thing. Our church family laughs with us. Our church family cries with us. Matthew 25, verse 35. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. We all like to be in a place among people where we feel we belong. Isn't it beautiful to be a member of a local New Testament church? A place that we can belong. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." God instructs us to be a help to one another, besides our natural families, and sometimes even more so. There's no better place to find that support than from your local New Testament church. I feel bad for those that aren't plugged into a local New Testament church. The natural man, the unsaved individual that's going through this life and all the heartaches that come along with it, that doesn't have the support of the local New Testament church. Let us not take that for granted. The local New Testament church is a place of support that we all can benefit from as being members of it. Fifthly, I'd like us to consider tonight as a place of safety as you find your place in Proverbs chapter 11. It's a place of safety. Our local church is where we receive godly counsel that counters the world. Now, the world thinks they've got all the answers, don't they? Right here is where we want to get our counsel to get through the issues of this life. It's God's word. It's a place of safety. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors there is safety." No, none of us have arrived. None of us have all of the answers. And our church family is a source of guidance to help keep us from falling into trouble. Getting plugged into a Sunday school class, we have Sunday school teachers that can help us. God has given us a pastor, an under-shepherd, to rightly divide the word to us, that we're getting good counsel from the preaching and teaching of God's word. Psalms chapter 4, verse 8 says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." When we're in the will of God and following His word, we will have a calm peace about us. Psalms 5, verse 12 says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield." A shield of what? A shield of safety. That peace spoken of in Psalm 4, verse 8 comes from promises like the one found here in Psalms 5:12. Those who are living according to God's word will find favor with God as well as protection, safety. So we see that the local New Testament church is a place of safety for the members of that church. Sixth, it's a place of learning. Find your places in 2 Timothy chapter 3. As we consider, our local church is where we are fed through the teaching and the preaching of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We didn't miss any meals today, did we? Victory fed us well today, didn't they? How many of you are going to miss breakfast tomorrow? What about lunch? We don't miss meals, do we? We're very blessed here in the United States to have food and be able to put food on the table. We know every week your pastor prepares meals. Maybe some of us are malnourished with the spiritual meals our pastors are providing. You know, it's kind of like when we're young. "Oh, I don't want to eat that broccoli." "I don't want that. I'd rather just have my dessert." You know, the pastor provides those meals spiritually. The meat of God's word gets it into milk form that we can receive it and be challenged from it. We should be in the services because it's a place of learning. God uses preaching and the teaching of His word to change lives. We can and should study God's word on our own, There's even more that can be learned from the different perspective of others, our pastor, teachers, counselors within the local New Testament church. Those things we learn when godly men and women teach the Word of God to us within the church will help us live godly lives and produce fruit in this life. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." We ought to always be teachable, learning, ever learning from God's Word. You can only hear if you're in an audience of another person, right? A wise person will want to learn as much as he can from as many different sources as he can, including his own study, but from the teaching and preaching of others within the walls of the local New Testament church. It's a place of learning. And number 7, it's a place of fellowship. I think just about every Baptist church has this one down. We love to fellowship, don't we? Find your places in Acts chapter 2. As we consider tonight, the local New Testament church is a place of fellowship. A local church is where we have fun together as a church family. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. God's word reads, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Sounds like a good revival meeting there. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and" what? "Fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers." So we see here that they were enjoying fellowship in the first century church. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." We want to have the right kind of fellowship. We want to have the right kind of influence. You know, we have over the years safeguarded the influence that we allow in our children's lives, that we allow in our families' lives. The week that we go through the devotions that I've wrote in Iron Sharpeneth Iron, when we get to that verse, Proverbs 27, verse 17, and I read that verse in our knife-making class, I'll hold up two pieces of metal. One is a file. A file is used either in removal of wood or metal. It's a piece of tool steel. Maybe it's got diagonal lines one way. That would be a single cut, or a checkering, a double cut file. And then the other piece of metal that I hold up will be a blade that's in progress. And I say, no, if I take this file and I run it over the cutting edge of the blade, what's going to happen? And they'll say it's going to dull it. But now if I take that same file and I run it over the cutting edge at just the right angle, about 60 degrees, back and forth, and I keep doing that, what's going to happen? It's going to sharpen it, isn't it? And you know, I see, you know, as I'm holding those two pieces of metal up, if we think of these two pieces of metal as two different men, two different individuals, and we think about it that way, the people we allow in our life are going to do one of two things. They're going to dull us, or they're going to sharpen us. They're going to draw us closer in our walk with our Lord and Savior, or they're going to repel us from Him. I want, and I've always valued the Paul-Timothy relationship. Talked about Bill Bradley at lunch. He was one of my Pauls in the ministry. And I could go on and on. But I valued the sharpening of other men of God. And that's the kind of influence we want in our lives, that we should want for our children. You're not going to find it in the world. You're going to find it in God's house. So lastly, let us consider it. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place where we're sharpened. Everyone in our life will have an effect on us either positively or negatively. We need to get influenced in fellowship, not out in the world and see what the world has to offer, but right here. We can have a lot of fun, and we have a lot of fun and within the local New Testament church. Church is a great place to find the right kind of friends, those who will edify us and strengthen our walk with our Lord and Savior. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When we are traveling, we always find a local New Testament church, an independent fundamental Baptist church. And you know what we find whenever we get plugged into that church, if it's only for even for a weekend, what happens every time? We make friends. Why? Because we're on the same page doctrinally. We're like-minded. And I don't care what state it is you go or what country, you're going to have that common bond. Blessed be the tie that binds. Amen. That's just the way it works. How much more true is it among our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ within our local New Testament church? The local New Testament church is a place of fellowship. It's a place of assembly, worship, service, support, safety, learning, and fellowship. Now, the majority of the seven things I've listed tonight are benefits to us, the members of the church. But I'd be amiss if I didn't challenge you tonight. It's great to benefit from everything the local New Testament church has to offer. But I think about what our 35th president, John F. Kennedy, once said, a quote that he's famous for: "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." And applying it to what we're talking about tonight, the local New Testament church, making application, the local church and its membership, we shouldn't be asking, what can my church do for me? It's not our church anyway, it's God's. But what can I do for my church? What can I do for God's church? You see, as Christians, we're all missionaries. We're just on different fields. Your field's right here. Boonesboro, Washington County, Maryland. We all have the command to go. Pastor said this morning, it'd be great if someone would be called to the mission field this week. Whether it's another state like Pennsylvania or New York, that'd be great, or abroad. But we all have a field. Your field's right here. You see, we have the command not just in the Gospels and here in Acts, but what else does God's Word say about going? Go out into the highways, the byways, and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house, the Lord's house, may be filled. I pastored during the height of COVID, as I said a moment ago. Dr. Bob Valier has done financials, church financials, for 40 years. And he stayed in our prophet's chamber, and he looked at some other, did some other churches that week. And it came time for him to sit down with me. And he starts off with a question. He says, "Brother Newman, what are you doing?" And, oh boy, this isn't going to go well. He said, "You are the exact opposite of everywhere I've been this year." Everywhere across the board. Everywhere I've been this year, their numbers are down and their finances are down. Your numbers are up and your finances are up. What are you doing? I answered Brother Valier with one text of Scripture, Acts 2:47. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I told Brother Valier, I said, "I've told my people, the most important thing I do as your pastor is not preach three messages from this pulpit each week. It's important, God uses preaching to change lives, but it's not the main thing. The most important thing I do as your pastor is not counsel from my office. It's important. God can use pathetic Bible counseling to change lives, but it's not the main thing. I told my people, the most important thing I do as your pastor is I go and I'll take a stack of tracts from that track rack. I'll go over to Janoff Shopping Center and I'll pass them out. I do it for three reasons. One, because I'm commanded to do so. And that call is not just for a pastor or missionary, that's for all of us. Two, I do it out of love for my Lord and Savior. He died for me. Is it too much of Him to ask of me that I live for Him? And what better way to live for our Lord and Savior than to tell others and point others to Him? And then thirdly, I want God's blessing on my ministry. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. We're to go out into the highways, the byways, and the hedges and compel them to come in, that His house may be filled. How are we doing with that? How many are familiar with the 20-80 rule? Has anyone ever heard of the 20-80 rule? Anybody? Nobody? 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. I think it's great that your pastor's working on the bus ministry, and he shared his burden with me at the age of six when he started working on the buses. But boy, he wears a lot of hats around here. It'd be great if he had some help on the buses, maybe even start a second route. I believe there are multiple reasons why churches close their doors. I'm good friends with Bob Larson and Reseeding America, and we've talked, and I think there are many things that can lead to a church closing their doors, but I believe one reason is churches get burned out, that 20%. 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. When I was the singles director at Emmanuel up in Hagerstown, I loved doing object lessons with them. And I had this idea. We did one with a 20-inch bicycle. I said, all right, I need a few volunteers. And I asked, who wants to ride the bicycle? And one of the guys spoke up. I said, all right, I want you to make laps so we can see you. And every time you get back to this point, I want you to stop the bicycle. He said, all right. And then I had two other guys help me. I said, here's some cutters. I gave him some pliers with the cutters on them. I said, every time he gets to this point, I want you to cut a spoke off. You cut one off the front wheel, you cut one off the back wheel. And we did it. It was fun, pretty funny. Laughing. And you know what's going to happen here. And he'd make a lap, and it'd stop at that station, and they cut off a spoke. Come back around, they cut off another spoke. I said, all right, we're pressed for time here. I said, all right, cut off two spokes. The next lap, I said, all right, cut off three spokes. I was trying to speed up the process of making this bicycle fail. An engineer designed this bicycle to bear the weight of a child. It's load-bearing. And each one of those parts were designed to bear the weight of that child, in this case, a young adult. And he'd come back around. I said, all right, cut four off. And then come back around, cut four more. You know what happened toward the end of him riding that bicycle? And it got to the point where he could not ride it anymore. I'm going to show you what the wheels looked like. I wish I still had the video. The wheels looked like this. In the back of the bicycle, if you're looking from the rear, this is what the wheels looked like. They did not run straight anymore. They were all over the place. And we basically cut the spokes off until the thing failed, till he could not ride it anymore. I said, all right, let's go back inside. And on that dry erase board in our classroom that Sunday morning, I drew a hub and a rim and a wheel. And I drew the spokes all the way around. And I took that eraser, said, all right, I'm going to erase a couple spokes. Here's some senior saints graduating and going on to heaven. They're now with the Lord, but we've lost some church members. I erase a couple more. Here's some folks that have moved to another state, and they're no longer with this local New Testament church. I kept erasing those spokes for one reason or another, and I said, now here's people that are just sitting in the pews. And I erased all kinds of spokes. And I explained that 20-80 rule to them. I said, I believe a lot of churches get burned out because the members of that church aren't plugged in. They're receiving the benefits that we've talked about tonight, and that's great. It's good to be plugged in, but it's even better to be serving. Not just plugged in, to be serving and being part of what's going on and reaching this community, this Jerusalem that God's placed you in. You know what I believe? I believe God has equipped every local New Testament church with the people and the talents and the gifts that that local New Testament church needs to reach the Jerusalem He's placed them in. It's Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. God's put you all together here in this local work for a purpose, on purpose, for a reason, to reach the community you're in. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, and the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I ask you tonight, what is your role? How are you contributing to this local New Testament church here in Boonesboro? One last illustration. I heard a pastor at one point talk about a firehouse, a fire station. And within a firehouse, there are multiple duties. One fireman might be in charge of, maybe he's the cook. Another firefighter might be in charge of inventorying different levels of stock and shelf life and that kind of thing. Maybe you have another guy that goes out and does building inspections and sets, as the fire marshal, the occupancy levels and that kind of thing. You know, they all have different duties within that firehouse. But at the end of the day, you know what they are? They're all firefighters. Isn't it the same in God's house? Whether you're an usher, a nursery worker, Sunday school teacher, the pastor, at the end of the day, we're all firefighters. We're all to be spreading the gospel to the lost and dying world around us. Your mission field is right here, Boonesboro, Maryland. Let's close in prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed.